Father, we thank you and give you praise and give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures are full of promises. And the scripture cannot be broken. Lord, we thank you. We have found in the word of God today the scripture that we will use to encourage ourselves, exhort ourselves, and we know the scripture cannot be broken. To God be the glory. Now, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare it so over this room today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've been talking about our September to remember event. There's so much excitement in the spirit. There's a lot going on. The glory of the Lord is flashing already. The messengers of the Lord, you know. Wow, they're called ministering spirits. They're messengers of truth to the body of Christ. They are ready. They are prepared for an hour, for a day. Ready to do some good stuff. And we are working. We are ready. The Lord said, go up to the mountain, get wood, build, you know, and I would take pleasure in it. So we're working on that. And we want to, just look ahead now, because we've done the consecration for 3 days. Morning, just like the event will be. And then we've done some Thanksgiving after that. Now, today, I want to do what is a look ahead and to hear the results and what will carry out of the event, the conference. Praise the Lord. Now, September to Remember is a prayer, fire, and teaching conference. That's what we expect it to be. Well, we expect a lot of things. There's so many promises the Lord has spoken to us in these last few days when we're doing a consecration. But I want to do a look ahead. There's a reason why a look ahead is very good. We use it to encourage ourselves. The scriptures, many of the promises, if not most of the promises in the Bible, are look ahead. And the Lord himself, he used this look ahead method to encourage himself. Sometimes he would tell his disciples, well, I go to Jerusalem and, I'll fall into the hands of the Jews and I will be killed and I will be raised up this third day. They didn't understand it. Well, you say, well, when it comes to pass, you will remember that I've told you. That's one reason. But the other reason was also encourage himself. He said, well, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I'll raise it again. That's usually to encourage himself. Praise the Lord. I will go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. David will say things like that. People would always speak of things. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things concerning the king. And I would speak positive things like that of what the Lord is going to do, what the Lord is doing, and what yet more he's going to do. And if we really understand the Lord and try to put ourselves to see from God's eyes, which is some of the things, that's part of some of the things we've been teaching on this platform, see ourselves as having the nature of God, rather than just see ourselves as, as nothing. No, we were created in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus came to redeem us back to that. And so as we go through life, from time to time, we must remind ourselves that we were created in the image and likeness of God. Now, what does that mean? It means we have the same attributes that he has, you know, likeness, character, image. You know, we think like him, we act like him, we function like him, and so on and so forth. There are many things that God, you know, is. You know, God is God. That's number one. Well, I mean, that's true. We are not God like that, but the scripture actually does say in Psalm 82, and Jesus will refer to it again in John chapter 10. The scripture says, in terms of, say, ye are gods, little g though. And then Jesus, one day when he was telling them who he was, really, I came from above and the Son of God and all that, people say, well, right, man, you make yourself God. He said, well, you know, why do you think that that's far-fetched, that I call myself the Son of God? Did not this scripture, you know, say, you know, I mean, if the scripture said concerning those people to whom the word of God came, that ye are gods, and the scripture cannot be broken, that's how Jesus said it, why do you then think that it's outlandish for me to call myself the Son of God, whom God has sanctified? You know, so let's read that exchange from Jesus with the, I mean, between Jesus and the Jews. You know, is it not written in the law? So we'll take it and from chapter 10, John chapter 10, when he said, I am my Father, I want, and they wanted to kill him for that. So let's read. I will pick it from verse 27 or so. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't that wonderful? Shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Well, because my Father, which gave them unto me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck anything out of my Father's hands. It's kind of like God is holding something and you're going to wrench it away from him. You can't do it, you know, because he is God. He's God Almighty, you know. So you cannot do it. You cannot take anything away from his hands that he's got in his grip. And he said, God's got you in his grip. He's my Father. He gave you to me. No one can pluck anything out of his hand because I committed you back into his hands. Wow. Then he told them, well, I am my Father, I won, actually. And that got them all riled up. You know. And so the Jews, they took up stones again to kill him. And they've done that before. You know, do that. Tried to do it before. He silenced them, say, hold on now. You know, and then they say, and then Jesus said, well, there are many good works I've showed unto you from my Father. For which of these works are you trying to stone me? And they said unto you, well, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. Because that thou, being a man, you make yourself God. Now that's blasphemy. According to the Jews, you know, you are a man and you are saying you are God out the same. And no, they're going to kill him for that because the Jews don't mess around with that at all. Because the Jews know this from the beginning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And, you know, with all thy soul, all thy strength and so forth, thou shalt have no other gods beside him. So the Lord thy God is one Lord, nobody else. They knew that. So when Jesus said, I am my Father, I am one, and they know that this my Father that he's referring to all the time is God Almighty, so they were trying to kill him. And they said, well, he said, well, we're not trying to kill you for the good works you've done, but because you're blaspheming that you are calling yourself God, being a man. So Jesus answered them, listen to this. Is it not written in your law that ye are gods? Now this thing is in Psalm 82. I'm going to read it to you in a minute. Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he, that's God, call them gods, little g, unto whom the word of God, big G, came, and the scripture cannot be broken. This is the emphasis of where I'm going. The script, Jesus is making an argument here. If God called people who received the word of God gods back then, and Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. So if God called them gods, that means they are gods. Now listen to that. Say, and the scripture cannot be broken. Well, then why do you say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I say I am the Son of God? Powerful argument. Powerful, you know. So, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, well, then believe for the work's sake, that you may know and believe that Father is in me and I in him. And they sought to kill him again, but he escaped out of their hands. Well, let's see what Jesus was referring to here. Jesus knew the scriptures. And, you know, he would always tell it to them to remind them of what the scriptures said. But the most powerful statement here is what he says, and the scripture cannot be broken. God said it, that's it. It cannot be broken. Well, let's read this thing from Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, which people is God calling mighty. Which congregation is he standing? He judged among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly? Now, God is, you know, here rebuking them for some of their unrighteous ways. But nevertheless, he called them gods, you know. And then he said, you know, you drop down here to verse 6. He said, I have said ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. That's how God addressed them. He said, well, but because you don't really know who you are, then you are going to die like men. Diet, Abner as a fool, diet. Well, yeah, you're going to die as men because you don't even know that you are supposed to be gods. You know, powerful, powerful stuff in these scriptures. Yeah, that's the reason people die as men, because they don't even know that they are gods, they're children of the Most High. Now, if you are gods, little g, and children of the Most High, and the God Almighty is calling you that, then we need to recognize these attributes of God that we're supposed to have in us. Now, one of those attributes that I want to talk about today, I just said all of that as an argument to lay the foundation that we also can declare things ahead of time. Because this is an attribute of God. This is what God does. And so we also can do the same. Hallelujah. So here is what God always says. You know, I mean, one of the things he says about himself is, let's read it out of Isaiah 46, you know, and verse, I'm going to read from verse 9, but verse 10 is where I'm going. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. Hallelujah. And there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. That's right. And that scripture cannot be broken. Now, there is no God like him. And there is God alone. We're not saying we are Almighty God, but we are children of God. You know, that's right. He's the God Almighty. And we are his children. We are the offspring of the Most High. Glory to God. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm the Son of God. That makes me, you know, and my Father one. And that's deep. So now we are the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Beloved, behold how what manner of Lord the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He said, now are we. He the sons of God. We already are. Not that we're going to be. We already are. And Psalm 82 said, ye are sons of God. But if you don't know who you are, you would die like mere men. So, one of his attributes is right here in Isaiah 46 and 10. He said, there is none like me declaring the end from the beginning. That's what God does. And from ancient things, ancient times, the things that are not yet done. That's what God does. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Glory to God. Now, that attribute to declare things from, the end of things from the beginning thereof, even before the thing started, to declare it, that's an attribute of God. So, how can we approximate some of these character traits, of God in our life? Well, how can we become? John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, gave them power to become the sons of God. Well, that becoming, at first, initially you are, but you are a child. You're becoming. You're learning more about him. You're becoming more and more like him. Well, one of the things that that helps us is knowing his word, knowing what he has said. If God has said something about anything, we know what he has said. We understand it because the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said it. Then we say the same thing. That makes you almost like God. Because that thing which you are saying, we're saying it on the behalf of the Lord because he said it first. And you are repeating his word, saying it like he said it, not adding to it, not taking away from it. Then you are behaving like God. So I'm going to act like God today. Some people may, I hope you won't think that that's sacrilegious. Well, that's exactly what God wants us to do. Act like him. Jesus will always tell the people, be like your heavenly father. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. Be like your heavenly father. Be like your heavenly father. Be like your heavenly father. Well, okay. Well, let's try to be like our heavenly father then. So let's try to declare ahead what God said he would do. Because that's what he would have done. He would tell you ahead what's going to happen. The Lord always told people like that. Always. He would say, tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Or tomorrow, go ye down and meet them. Tomorrow. He was always telling them, getting their hearts prepared and showing them that, look, you can actually declare things that are not as though they already are. That's one of his attributes. And let's read that in the book of Romans. We're going to read it from chapter 14 and verse 17. He said, when God was speaking to Abraham, made him, said, I'll make you a father of many nations. He said, God spoke to him. He said, God who quickeneth the dead. Quickens means to make alive, to cause to become alive, or to cause to come back to life. So God doesn't bury the dead. He raises the dead. God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they already were. That's an attribute of God. And we got to learn to step into that attribute. Step into that attribute. How do you call things that are not as though they already are? Well, you speak the word of God over that situation. That's it. We don't know what things will be in the end, but God knows. So all I got to do is say what he knows that he has already said. See, he who knows has already said. Well, I believe his word. I speak it like he spoke it. That's it. And the scripture cannot be broken. See, if you put your mindset into that the scripture cannot be broken. And when we align ourselves with the word of God, then The scripture cannot be broken. So, there's one scripture today that I want to, having laid our foundation, there's one scripture today that I want to affirm. Remember, some time ago, and this is part of something we must be doing on a daily basis to, you know, build yourself into a champion of faith. On a daily basis, we must affirm the word of God. We must mean what we say. We must expect what we say. Nothing doubting. I taught on this platform and even at the church some time back ago that that's what amen really stands for. The A is to have, you know, every time we pray, we say amen at the end. We say it all the time, but, you know, it just, we don't think about it. But think of it this way. Whenever you pray or say the word of God, same thing. Well, the A is to affirm it. Affirm means repeat his word. He said it already. You know, it's like, well, if God says something, oh, we're just affirming it or become the enforcers of what God already said. You know, yeah. So we affirm the word of God. And then the M means we mean it when we say it. Now, God doesn't say anything he doesn't mean. He doesn't play with words. And then as we mean what we just said, well, from his word, we also expect it to be as it is said. You can't say one thing with your mouth and be expecting or behaving some other way. No. If you say I'm healed, then get up from your bed already. You know, and act like you're healed. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, and behave like that. Whatever you're trying to do, believe, that's what Jesus said. Believe and don't doubt and you shall have it. Mark 11 verse 23 tells us, you know, when you say, you know, if you say it and don't doubt it, but you believe it in your heart that what things you said shall come to pass. That's expect. You know, then you will have it, Jesus said. Wow. And the scripture cannot be broken. Remember that. You know, so if the scripture cannot be broken and God calls things that are not as though they are, and we are children of the Most High, we should have those same attributes ourselves. Then you doubt nothing. That's what the N is. We doubt nothing. You know, we are in God's nature, in God's DNA. The Bible says that there are so many, you know, exceeding great and precious promises that God has given us that will make us partakers of the divine nature. It's not that we are already not in that divine nature, but for you to really partake it, for it to become evident in your life, you go back to those promises and begin to declare those promises. One of which I'm going to declare today, the word of God, and this scripture cannot be broken. So we've gone up to the mountain, we gathered wood, and we're trying to build. And God said, well, if you do it, I will take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified in it. Well, we have been repeating that to him throughout the consecration. We repeated to him the words, the promises out of Zephaniah chapter 3, out of Ezekiel chapter 12, all the things that the Lord said he would do. Well, let me fast forward now to the end of the conference. The end of the conference. God declares the end from the beginning. Let me now fast forward to the end of the conference. And this is the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 11. Same thing in Isaiah 35 verse 10. But I like this one in Isaiah 51 verse 11. You know, therefore shall the ransomed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, return you know, people often quoted scriptures, many scriptures. You know, when you look at the scripture on the surface, that scripture may not look like it was referring to your situation on the surface, but we've seen many people quote many scriptures and apply it to their day. Even the writers, you know, of the Gospels, they will quote some things, said, you know, that which was spoken by the prophet, that it might be fulfilled. They'll just say, this is what is happening. You know, a scripture that was there for perhaps some other reason, the word of God is eternal. The word of God is beautiful for every situation. The word may be there for another reason. Yeah, people will take it and they will use it. On the day of Pentecost, you know, Peter stood up and said, well, this is that which was spoken by Joel and so forth. Jesus said, well, did not God say that you are this and that? And they are all quoting the scriptures. You know, Paul, every one of them, they would always quote the scriptures. Quote what the scripture said. Quote what the scripture said. Jesus quoted the Psalms and the prophets. Many of them did. Well, let's quote the scripture here too. And here is the scripture. Therefore, the redeemed or ransomed of the Lord shall return. Return from where? You know, so that's the question. Well, in that particular case, well, okay, they were outcasts and different things and so forth. And the Lord will bring them from the north country, from here and from there. Okay, we understand that. But the scripture cannot be broken. You know, so we declare it over this room and over September 2011. The redeemed of the Lord shall return from that conference and they shall come, glory to God, with singing back to their homes. That's right. Zion is their home. Everlasting joy. What does everlasting mean? Well, let's break that down. You know, if you have joy one day and the next day everything's all upside down and all messed up again, you're running back and forth to the hospital again, that's not everlasting. That's just one day. So we're looking for everlasting joy. That's right. Let's not just take these words as though they are words. The scriptures cannot be broken. I'm looking for everlasting. You know, sometimes we pray, Pentecostals especially. They will say, let your miracle be permanent. Well, they're talking about everlasting joy. You know, because once God does it, whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. Glory to God. Once he does it like that, you know. So, everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. We shall obtain gladness and joy out of this conference. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Now, I will gather them that are sorrowful to the solemn assembly according to the words of Zephaniah chapter 3. Wow. Is he trying to gather them that are sorrowful to the solemn assembly just to rub their sorrow in their face? No. He's gathering them that are sorrowful for to undo their sorrow. That's right. The thing that is making you sorrowful. Some people say what's keeping you up at night? Well, whatever. The thing that is making you sorrowful, the reproach that has become a burden to you. The Lord said, well, I will gather you together in order to undo all that has been afflicting you. I mean, we read that prophecy out of Zephaniah every single day of that last consecration. That's what he's going to do. That's what he said he's going to do. Now, this is the end of it. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. What's the conclusion of the matter? Well, that's what we're doing here today. The conference is now over, right? Day one, day two, day three, and even the morning of, day four. It's now over. We're about to return to our homes. How do we return? We came with sorrow. We are living with joy. Glory to God. If you believe it, you can put amen in the chat room. We're coming in with mourning and sadness and heaviness and all these things. We're returning with the mercies of God, everlasting mercies of God. Remember, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, I want to read something to you where he said, I have loved you with an, this is something that doesn't end at what everlasting means. It's just like it says, it's exactly what it means. Let me read the first few verses of Jeremiah 31 to you. Yeah. At the same time, at what time? Well, remember I said, at that time will I undo all that afflict you. Well, at that same time, add this to it. At that time, said the Lord, will I be that God of walking with God. That's right. I am that God by which you have so named this house. I am that God. Glory to God. And ye are my people. That's right. He said, ye are gods and you are the children of the Most High. God said the Lord. The people that were left of the soul. I mean, these were people. Some of them were carried away into Babylon. The rest of them in captivity, they were killed. Their place was burned. They left, some of them narrowly left and so forth. He said, well, all of those afflictions will find grace in the wilderness, saith the Lord. And when I cause Israel, from the wilderness, I cause him to inherit rest. Glory to God. Now, I'm looking forward and I'm saying what to expect at the end of the conference is rest. Hallelujah. Because it will now cause us to obtain rest and gladness and joy. The Lord had appeared to me of old and said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's it. That's it right there. Not today, love today and tomorrow, no. No, it's everlasting. Therefore, with loving kindness I have I drawn you. Now that word loving kindness can only be used of the Lord. Loving kindness. That's it. You can't even explain it. My loving kindness I have drawn thee. His everlasting love is forever. Everlasting kindness is also there with us too. Praise the Lord. And he said, and again I will build thee. Remember, bring wood and build with me, saith the Lord. And ye shall build the old waste places. And I will be glorified in it. I will take pleasure in it, saith the Lord. Wow. Thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. And thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets. And thou shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. And the voice of gladness. The voice of merriment. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, and the beauty of holiness. Well, that voice will not end. The Lord said, I will bring them back and they shall flow together in the goodness of the Lord. See, these are the things. I have redeemed Jacob. What can we go? You can put your name there. Powerful, this chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Look at verse 11. For the Lord had redeemed us and ransomed us from the hand of him that was too strong for us. I will undo all that afflict you. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. Well, when they are returning, they will be laughing in and out of joy. Laughing in and out with joy out of church, rather. They shall flow together in the goodness of the Lord. For wheat, for wine, for oil, the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a water garden. And they shall not sorrow any more at all. Praise the Lord. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. Both young men and old men together. For I will turn their mourning into joy. So the things that God will do for us. And I'm speaking about it now in advance as we're looking forward and seeing, ha, the Lord has turned our mourning into joy. That's what we'll be saying at the end of it. You see, that which we have waited for has come to pass. That's going to be our song out of that conference. Hallelujah. I say amen to you. You can say it too. Make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will saturate the soul of the priests with fatness. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Now, this are all the things that the Lord will do for us. And let me tell you the promise of the Lord even for your children. All of it is laid out in this Jeremiah 31. So powerful. I'm claiming it for that conference. During that conference even, that's what the Lord said. Refrain thy voice from weeping. It's over your children. And thine eyes from tears. For thy work over these children shall be rewarded. Now, if you bring your children to the conference, powerful stuff is going to happen to them. Your work shall be rewarded. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Who are the day that he's talking about? Well, read the next verse. And the one we just read is verse 16. Well, let's read verse 17. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord. Well, even in the end of the conference, that thy children, that's what he's talking about, shall come again unto their own border. Now, their own border doesn't just mean spiritually. First and foremost, it means spiritually, but it means everything else too. You know, your children are supposed to be ahead, but they are not. You know, they're supposed to be above, but they are not. They're supposed to be leaders, but they are not. They're supposed to be in front, but they are not. Well, they will be because he said they will come back into their own border. And you bring your children, you know, or you bring their names to the altar one way or another. At the end of this conference, great things will be happening in the lives of your children. That's right. Now, most parents are consumed with the situations of their children. They want the Lord to do even more for their children than themselves. That's all they're, you know, they're just consumed like that. That's a good thing to be passionate for your children, but you must believe the Lord. These children are also the children of the Lord. you know, just like Jesus said, thine they were, but you gave them to me. Well, thine they were concerning your children. That's what you should say. You gave them to me, and I'm handing them back to you. Glory to God. And God is going to make them come back to their own borders. Now, at the end of the conference, God will do great things that we can go away with. You know, God will do great things. You know, you'll be able to say things like this. The Lord has satiated the weary. So, that's verse 25. You know, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Now, this is the end of it. He has already done it. He said, I have satiated and have replenished. That's right. Wow. This man, he saw all of these in a night vision. And the Lord was telling all these things. So when he woke up, he said, what? Upon this I awakened and beheld, and my sleep was sweet. The Lord told him what's coming. And I am claiming it for the house of walking with God. This is the same chapter where he talked about God rewriting his covenant in the heart of the children of God. God be the glory. New covenant I will make with you in those days. This is the same place where I talked about, look, you will no longer say the fathers ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. No, enough of that already. I have broken even the so-called generational curse. You know, some people are always talking about that. You know, and you'll find out, unfortunately, even among the believers, people believe more about generational curse than generational blessings. I don't know why, you know, but that stuff's not found in my camp. We are the blessed of the Lord. The blessing of Abraham passed on to Isaac. Blessing of Isaac passed on to Jacob. No. And it passed on to David, passed on even to the Christ. That's right. In you shall all nations of the world be blessed. That was Isaac, and it was Christ. And the blessing passed on to us, too. You know, so it's not, okay, my father has ate sour grapes, and now my teeth are set on edge. No. I'm not that from my father. I have a father. Almighty Father. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is that Father that I, you know, affiliate myself with and align myself with. That's right. That Father that is able to make me like Him. Glory to God. You know, and He said many things in this chapter 31. You know, of Jeremiah. Powerful, powerful things. You know, there is the need for us today to not only believe what God has said, but also declare it. You know, here is another one in the previous chapter, verse 30, and I'm going to read some of these declarations unto us from verse 19. This is what is going to happen out of that conference. He says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. And people thought that Jeremiah was a weeping prophet of doom and so forth. But no, he had a lot of good things to say. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry. Praise God. You know, I think when, you know, come out from that conference, we'll be hearing of wedding bells, naming ceremonies, graduations, quantum leaps, and different things. That's right. You know, testimonies will come. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry, and I will multiply them. That's right. You know, well, you know, the Lord's, that's what He said. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating it. I'm believing it. I'm repeating it. So He's going to multiply you in your lives, and He's going to multiply this platform too. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. That's right. I also will glorify them. Now, how many times is the Lord going to say that? We're not the one that's looking for glorification. But if He said He's going to do it, I'll take it. He said it in Zephaniah. He said, I will get them praise and fame and a name in the place where they have been put to shame. Will I glorify them, said the Lord. Well, in the thing in your life that has brought reproach, God said, I'm going to turn it around. I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Glory to God. Numbers will increase in your family, your household. Numbers will increase spiritually on walking with God. Glory to God. Though thy beginnings were small, greatly increased. The Lord is the one that said He will do this thing, so I'll take it. Praise the Lord. And I believe it too. Now, there shall be voice of merriment, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness. The ransom of the Lord shall return with singing, with gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Now, we've been praying about this and I'm putting myself into prayer, continue to pray about it. This is what we want to see and experience. And this is what we shall see and experience. But that's how you do it. You declare it ahead. You know, that's what you do. You declare it so that God will confirm it. Isaiah said it the same way. You know, let's read one verse from Isaiah 43 and verse 26. You know, how you use your declarations in advance to get things to happen. Put me in remembrance, the Lord said. Put me in remembrance. What exactly does that mean? Well, remind me of what I already said. Did he forget? Absolutely not. God doesn't forget anything. But it's your responsibility and my responsibility to declare back to him what he already said. That's right. So God already said it. Well, that's it. And we declare it back to him. This is what causes things to happen in your favor. That's what your justification means. You know, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. So I'm putting it, I'm declaring, I'm putting it out there. God be the glory. I'm putting it out there. Destroy this temple and in 3 days, I'll raise the gate. Just gonna put it right out there. That's how he was justified too. Did the Bible say that he was justified? Well, absolutely. You know, in the book of, you know, First Timothy, you know, chapter 3, verse 16, we read this of Jesus describing who he really was. He said, well, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We know that's Jesus. Justified in the spirit. Was he justified? Yeah. You know. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received on the world. How was he justified? Well, he was declaring it. Declaring it. And in fact, it was said of him way before he came. Isaiah prophesied this thing in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Said, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. That's Christ. He took that word straight out of the mouth of Christ, the saying it. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Together they might be glorified. And did he say it or not? Did he do it or not? Yeah. In John chapter 17, verse 22, the glory that you gave me, I have given unto them. Together, we are for signs and wonders. Jesus was just fulfilling the scripture left, right, and center. So today, I declare in the name of the Lord that out of this meeting shall come forth the voice of merriment, out of this conference, the voice of gladness. Now, whatever gladness and merriment, you know, that you want, you can declare it for yourself. Put it in the chat room also. What is it that you know that God has promised you, but which the devil has held back? Well, it's coming your way. When you come out of this conference, look for it, because it will be right there. Not many days hence, there will be tremendous testimonies. Because God called for it. And the Lord wanted to show us a token for good as well. Praise God. Yeah. This is not the time for us to not believe God. You know, the people that don't believe God, they are the ones that get the short end of the stick. As if you say, I mean, why is it that you will not believe God? You're the one that's going to lose. Because if the word is not mixed with faith in your heart, you're the one that's not. The word is going to come to pass. That's it. Now, whether it comes to pass upon you or upon your life, depends on, you know, how you take it. It's going to come to pass. When the Lord said, go and get it. So some of them said, we can't do it. Well, others said, we can. Well, the ones that said we can't do it, They did not do it. They didn't get there. They even smelled the place. The ones that said we can't, they got there. But it's going to happen once God has said it. And he will always have a remnant. It might be 2 out of 12. Only Joshua and Caleb are out of the 12. But whatever it is, there will always be a remnant that will believe God. And I want to be one of those that will believe God. And I'm believing God. As for me and my house, we will believe the Lord. As for me and my house, out of this conference will come forth merriment, gladness, and joy. What about you? What's God going to do for you? Well, everything that he said he would do. What he said he would do is what he will do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, as we close out this exhortation today, what I'm trying to say and get across is that these things have already been done. So we're declaring them. Now, you haven't stepped into these things yet, but they're already done. Here's the way Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15 puts it. It says, that which is yet to be. Well, for us, it's yet to be. Yeah. But for God, it has already been. That which is yet to be has already been. That's it. You know, that's why I keep saying God doesn't even start anything until first he has finished that thing. Now, if you can catch that revelation, you become a champion of faith. Oh, part of it, you know, will lead you to that, you know, to know that it's already done even before it even started. Praise the Lord. You can call Jesus author and finisher, but you can also call him finisher and author. That's right. You know, because he's finished it even before you saw anything. Before it even entered into your heart, he already did it. Glory to God. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, Jesus said, enter you into the joy of the Lord, that receive that kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. The world as it even began. And God already given you everything. All these things are already done in the mind of the Lord, saith the Spirit. It's done. Now, if you can only believe it. You know, that's what Jesus was always looking for. Somebody that can believe. One man came to Jesus in Mark chapter 9. You know, we read in verse 22 and so on. Say, Lord, if you can do anything, just help me. I brought them to your disciples. They couldn't. And Jesus wasn't impressed with those disciples. Faithless generation, he called them at times. How come you can't believe anything? All this time I've been with you, trying to get you to believe. You still don't believe anything? Bring the boy to me. So he said, well, in one case he said that. This man also, he told him, look, it's not whether I can do something. It's, can you believe? The man said, well, yeah, I'm struggling to believe. Well, help me with any areas of my own belief. And that's what many people need. And they need that kind of prayer. Because sometimes we are trying to believe, but your unbelief is creeping in. You need to get rid of that unbelief. Jesus said, look, if you can only believe, that's it. All things are possible unto him that believeth. Now, in the natural, we know that all things are possible only to God. We know that one. With God, there shall nothing be impossible. Gabriel told Mary. Jesus has said it also. You know, the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? And he told them some hard things. And Jesus said, well, with man, it's not possible. With God, nothing is impossible. So we already know there's nothing impossible with God. But now, Jesus is saying, and this is what we said at the beginning, making us to become like God, giving us the same attributes. With God, nothing is impossible. Well, with you, too, nothing will be impossible if you can only believe. That's what Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says. If thou canst only believe. Nothing shall be impossible unto you if you believe. I'm making you like God. Because nothing is impossible to God. Praise the Lord. You know, nothing. Once the Lord says it, that's it. Settled. Now, from now through the rest of the days up until the conference ending, let's practice this thing. The declaring the things that God's going to do for you. That's the word of your testimony. You're declaring it ahead of time. You know, even as it is written in Psalm 68 and verse 11. The Lord has given the word. You be among the company that will publish it. All the word that we've read in Zephaniah chapter 3, the ones we read in Ezekiel chapter 12, the ones we read today in Jeremiah 31, the ones we read in Jeremiah 30, all these things that the Lord has already given his word about. He has already spoken. The Lord gave the word. I didn't give the word. Lord gave it. I'm just publishing what he already said. You know, so nobody can fault me on that one because God already said it. And I'm just saying what he already said. That's right. So the Lord gave the word already. Now, great was the company that published it. Are you among the ones that published it? Well, publish the word for yourself. Publish it. Pronounce it. Declare it. Sammy said, I will declare your word in the great congregation, even among the heathen. I will declare it. Well, declare it. The Lord said, declare it that thou mightest be justified. Put me in remembrance. Quote my word back to me. It's what put me in remembrance means. He said, look, declare, let's plead together. Yeah, tell God, you know, you said this, you know, and so forth. Moses said to God, you said you know me by name and that I have found favor in your sight. That's what he said. In, you know, Exodus 33. Yeah, this was the argument. So, well, since you said that you know me by name, and since you said that you have, I mean, I have found favor in your sight, you already said that. Okay, now I'm going to cash in on it. Because you said that already, therefore then show me that favor. That's right. Show me your way that I may know you and show me that favor and that grace that you already told me that you know my name and that you have favored me already. Then show it to me. Praise the Lord. Well, that's how you get God going. You know, God needs some few people to challenge him. You know, declare it back to me. Let us plead together. That means you challenge God with his own word. And that's it. Don't be bashful. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, and challenge God. The reason why we can't come boldly is our sin consciousness. That's it. Get rid of that. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace. God be the glory. And tell God what he already said. Now, as you are saying it, what God already said, heaven is listening and they're paying attention. The angels are hearkening. Psalm 103 verse 20. He says, these angels, they are prepared for a day. They are prepared for an hour. They are trained. They are ready. But they have one order. That's one order. You see the angel of the Lord try to tell them to do anything. He said, no, I have my orders. That's what the angel of the Lord, you know, told Joshua. Joshua asked him a question. Well, are you for us or against? I said, no. No to both questions. But as a captain of the host, am I now come? That means I have my orders. You know, I have my orders. So the angel of the Lord, they have their orders. That's a standing order they already have. He has given his charge to his angels. They have a standing order. Hearkening, they do his commandments. That's a standing order. They will only do God's commandments, not somebody else's. You know, but the commandment that God already gave them is hearkening to the voice of his word. Any place where you hear the people voice out my word, that's the voice of his word. Anytime that they repeat that word back to me and they are pleading with me and declaring it again, what I already said, then you go and see to it. Make sure it comes to pass. Praise the Lord. So, Father, I thank you. To God be the glory. We have declared thy word today. Hallelujah. Jesus said it too. The scripture cannot be broken. These scriptures that we have declared today, all of them, none of them can be broken. It shall be said after this conference. Coming out of the conference, they shall return with gladness and joy. Ha! To God be the glory. Ye shall return with gladness and everlasting joy. Everlasting means it's not just going to be for the days of the conference. It's going to be beyond the conference. One day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, years beyond the conference. The joy of that God did for you will still be with you. I declare it in the name of the Lord. So it is spoken. And so let it be written. And so let it be done. Glory to God. As you have spoken in my ears, the Lord said, Numbers 14 and 28. Well, so shall I do unto you. Now, I have spoken in the ears of the Lord today what will be. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said, yeah, I'll do it to you, like you said. Praise God. So we are going to declare things that will be. Father, I give you glory. I give you praise for the revelation of the word of God. The revelation of the word of God. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. I declare that your people shall return out of this conference with gladness and with everlasting joy. I declare that sorrow and mourning shall flee away. That's what God said. I will undo all that afflict you. I bring in the sorrowful into the solemn assembly for to undo all that afflict them, saith the Lord. And all the things that have been a reproach unto you before, over those things will you get praise. And I will give you fame and glory in the thing where it was a burden unto you. I will remove. I will break the Assyrian in my mountain, saith the Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as everyone will declare unto you today what they want the Lord to do for them coming out of this conference, whether they be there physically or joining virtually, what they declare, the Lord said, well, that will I do unto you. So, Lord, I pray that you give your people faith to be bold. Hallelujah. Well, the prophet said to the man, the king, shoot thy arrows. He shot only 3 times and he stopped. You know. So why do you stop after 3? Why didn't you shoot 5 or 6 times or even more? Be bold and shoot those arrows. Don't stop at 1 or 2 or 3. Why? Plenty more where those miracles came from. Get them all! God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.